Recorded at 2023's Equip and HNA Show in Louisville, Kentucky, here's your host, TV personality and hardscapes contractor, Matt Blashaw.
Okay. All right. So let's start out. So state your name, where you're from, name of your company, and your position.
Ned Welch, Cherokee, North Carolina. Business is Welch's Grass and Brush Trimming.
Nice. Okay, so where's Cherokee in terms of, let's see, I know where's, you know, what's Charlotte? So where is it? Is it inland, west?
I'm in western North Carolina. I'm about 3 hours away from Charlotte. Border the Great Smoky Mountains and National Park and Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
I've been to Pigeon Forge.
I'm on the other side of the mountain.
Oh, man.
I'm on the Cherokee Indian Reservation.
It is absolutely beautiful. Are you Cherokee?
Yes, sir.
Oh, very cool. Very nice. So now, your industry, do you just cater to people on the reservation or anywhere outside?
No, I do work on the reservation for the tribe. I'm a tribal contractor, but I also do work in Swain County and Bryson City.
This is awesome because this is a totally different thing, right? You must have totally different challenges as compared to what, you know, the normal people.
Yeah, it's a challenge because there's a lot of hoops for me to have to jump through to become a tribal contractor.
Like what?
We have to be TERO certified, which is Tribal Employment Rights Office. To get a tribal contract, we have to be certified Native owned business.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, is it a government, or is it a subsidy, or are you guys all the way, you're paid by the tribe? How does that work?
With the contract, we have to bid out against other tribal entities and tribal business owners. So it's kind of like building a space shuttle, you know, the lowest bid wins.
Is that what it is?
Pretty much.
On a spaceship.
But for the most part, they also look at your references, work that you've done previously. So, I mean, even if you're not the lowest bidder, you might be the best bidder.
Yeah.
And so we get our job. I get my jobs that way. I maintain housing developments for them.
Nice.
But I also have a contract, a separate contract with a separate tribal program to take care of the two daycare centers.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Yeah, the contracts are great, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because
that's where I make my money on those contracts.
Well, I mean, I'm a you know, independent contractor, right? So any given day, I'm like, do I have work coming up next month or what is it? So, you know, I guess that kind of leads me to, you know, your industry. It's different, right? Because you guys are on your own kind of...
Yeah, I'm pretty much unemployed for the wintertime.
Yeah. I want to do that. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah.
Well, it is for me because I get to sit at home and take care of my grandbabies.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. All right, so your particular industry. So give me some challenges, like labor shortages, supply chain problems.
Supply is not a problem. I mean, I got my mower, I got my weed eaters, I've got my equipment. That's not a problem. Finding actual reliable help that will stick with me all summer long is a big challenge because nobody wants to work.
You know, I moved from California. I'm in Kansas City now. Mm-hmm. And that was my biggest issue, was finding people. Because, you know, no one wants to work.
Right.
And then you got to find people that are actually good, right?
Or willing to learn.
Willing to learn. And that's going to show up. Right. So how do you incentivize, like if from a contractor, how do you keep your employees there, happy, coming to work?
Oh, well, probably the one I had that worked out the best for me this year outside of my best friend. And he only helps when he can because he works at the casino in Cherokee. High school student. Autistic high school student was probably the best worker I had this whole year.
Awesome.
Because he would, I don't know if you've ever dealt with autistic people.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get them taught the way you want it to do it, that's the only way they see it. And once you give them a task, they will do it. And for working with him, I knew he was going to quit because school was getting ready to start back. I mean, he's a junior in high school, so I knew he wasn't going to be staying with me all summer. But for what time I did have him, the easiest way for me to keep him and deal with him was give him a daily goal. You know, this is what your goal is. My goal is to pay you and teach you. Your goal is to do it this way and work here.
Almost like baby steps.
Yes.
Right? Not giving them too much to overwhelm, but like, hey, let's just take it a day at a time, kind of culturing them.
Because unfortunately, you know, with like the autistic kids, they want to do something, but people don't want to work with them.
Mm-hmm. Different people have different personalities, right? So like, they're just a different personality. Yeah, so doesn't mean they're different.
When his mom came up to contact me and said, you know, he wants to work and he wants to do something. He wants to learn. I'm like, well, that's the big thing. If he wants to learn, I'm willing to teach. Because the schools don't really want to work with them. Outside companies didn't want to work with them. But to be able to keep him, if it wasn't for the fact he was in school, I would have loved to have kept him all here.
Yeah. Oh, you got a great heart, dude.
But
I love that. I love that.
As far as being able to maintain and keep people, hey, if you've got the business and you've got the area, unfortunately, in my small little community on a reservation, there's probably 20 different grass mowing contractors.
You know,
being able to find somebody who wants to work that much, because I may work from 8 a.m. till 12 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
and be done for the day,
mm-hmm.
or I may start at daylight and I might get home in dark. And finding people that want to continue to be like that, it's hard. People don't really want to work.
Finding that passion. I think you're onto something too, because I work with Skills USA. We take high schoolers,
mm-hmm.
and teach them that college isn't necessarily you don't need to go there, and you can make a great living doing what you do and loving what you do.
I have a college education, and I don't even work in what I went to school.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither.
I graduated top of my class in paramedic school.
Yeah.
And I'd much rather swim in grass than people's blood and guts. Nobody dies on me. Nobody's dying on me. Their body parts aren't lying around.
Yeah. I think you got into a better industry. All right. So tell me about client expectations. So what's changed your service offerings, or what gives you the edge, really?
My commitment to perfection. I'm a perfectionist. I'm a type A personality. I warn people, you know, I got started when I was 11 years old. I had an abusive stepfather who absolutely hated me because, one, my skin was darker than his,
huh.
And two, I wasn't his child. So he threw a weed eater in my hand thinking it was punishment.
But Little did he know.
It was an outlet for me, yeah. And I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
Obviously, I turned it into a business as I got older.
That's awesome.
But, you know, I tell people, look, when I give them free estimates, I tell them, okay, it's going to take roughly this long. I always shoot for higher on my estimate and prove to them I can do it in less time. But I warn them, look, you're not paying for my time. If I tell you it's going to take me 2 hours and it takes me an hour and a half, you're paying for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're paying for my experience.
That's you're paying because you know you're going to get the job done. You're going to get it done right, and on time.
Yeah.
All right. That's really important because you know, especially in this industry, people don't show up sometimes. They'll promise one thing. They'll sell you know a bag of tricks.
Yeah.
Never come back and never fully go through. And that reflects on you as a business because it's about referral as well, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes, I mean, because I can do, like, I've got several yards that are next to each other. And one of them was, she worked with my best friend. And he was like, well, you know, I got a guy, he can probably mow your yard. And she wanted to know how much it was. And I was like, you know, I told her, I said, I could probably fit this green mat in her yard, you know, for as far as time goes. So she's probably one of the ones that's never gotten an increase on her yard. Her next door neighbor, well, I need a grass mow. Well, you see what it looks like when I'm done.
Boom. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I want you to come over here and do this.
Yeah.
Well, my landlord, well, the next one. Well, my landlord likes what you do over those two yards. Can you come do mine? well, you're going to pay me, but is he going to take it out of what he owes you in rent?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think so. All right, then
here we go. Well, and it is customer referral, right? That is your best advertisement.
Yes.
Right? Because a lot of people, you spend thousands of dollars on Google or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But that client, that referral is going to give you business.
That word of mouth means everything.
Yeah.
Especially in my area. And I mean, because we live in the mountains. You might have a phone signal. You might be able to see what's on Facebook. You might actually be able to call something besides 911. But being able to talk to people in the grocery store, Walmart, that helps me out more than anything they could ever see online.
Yeah, and especially a small town. Everyone will know when it's good, but everyone will know when it's bad. Right?
Yeah. And small town has its advantages. I mean, you know, because, you know, anybody that knows small towns knows that we thrive and live on football.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it didn't hurt anything to spend $50 because one of the cheerleaders goes to church with me and says, you know, we're raising money for the programs. Okay, I'll put my business name in the program.
Awesome.
Now everybody sees it.
Awesome. Awesome. You're supporting the community.
Yes.
Right, especially a close-knit community. All right, so let's go into the industry. So talk to me about innovations you're seeing in the green industry, like, battery-operated.
Yeah, that stuff kills me.
Okay.
That stuff kills me.
Tell me why.
I guess because I grew up with the gas power.
Right. The smell of it, right?
Yes. the smell, the sound, the speed, and the amount of power. But I can see in certain areas where battery operated stuff works out well. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have a bunch of blowing to have to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I've actually, you know, talked to my dealer, you know, looking at the possibility of getting into a battery powered blower because I don't have a whole bunch that I need to blow off. Mm-hmm. And what I do, I'm on my mower. You raise your deck up and you drive backwards, it blows it off perfect. So
don't if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Right? I mean, do you use any technology, within like bids, apps, anything that you're seeing like, technologically advancing?
Unfortunately, having to put bids in, the only place I really have to do that is for my tribal contract.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't caught up with the time, so everything's still paper trail.
Oh, yeah. Carbon copies, right?
Yeah.
Carbon copies.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as far as like technology goes, I mean, thankfully I have a very intelligent wife.
Hope she's listening.
No, she's at home. She's at home back in North Carolina. Our two adult children had to both have surgery this week, so she's at home taking care of her babies. Otherwise, she would be here with me.
Awesome.
But it's just having to buy a computer so I could, you know, do my invoices and keep up with my inventory. I have no clue. I was taught how to take care of injured people and dying people. No clue about a computer.
Not a computer.
Thankfully, I have her.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's got 3 college educations in it. So once she taught, I'm like, just teach me the basics.
Yeah.
Teach me what I need to do, and I'll try to remember it. You'll probably have to tell me over and over again. But
well, that's interesting, though, because, you know, with my business, I hire that person. Once I log into QuickBooks, it literally gives me a physical reaction. That's how much I hate it, right?
Yeah.
So
I can understand that.
Yeah, it's too much. Like, I don't even want to do an estimate sometimes because it's just too much.
I save my receipts and take them to H&R Block. Say, here you go.
You figure it out.
I don't know.
But it's like, hire those people, right?
Yes.
That's how you grow your, you know, when you hire that person because you spend more time with the client, right? Making sure they have perfection with their job rather than worrying about the numbers.
Right.
Right? And that's going to make you more money in the long run because you're going to make that client happy. And you're going to get more business from it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yes. All right. Definitely. I don't want to deal with this.
Yeah.
I'd much rather cut grass.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Couple more questions.
Okay.
I'll let you go. You've been awesome. All right. So what advice would you give to a newcomer that's wanting to get into your industry?
Be willing to ask questions. Be willing to ask questions. Be willing to understand that you're going to lose a lot of money in your first couple years before you ever make it.
Mm-hmm.
be willing to put out the money for the equipment that you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a huge.
You realize you're not going to make money until you're comfortable with that equipment, until you have that customer base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're just not going to start out the gates making whatever.
No,
right? It's an investment, right?
I make enough to keep my head afloat during the winter time, but I'm not in a multi-million-dollar business in my area.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, you say ask questions, because as contractors, right, we don't want to ask questions because we need to know everything.
Right.
Right? I need to be the guy that knows everything. But you can't, right? You got to just swallow your pride, and you're going to make mistakes, because a person that makes few mistakes makes little progress.
Right.
That's what I say. So you got to learn. You got to ask questions. And especially for someone like you, you know, who's been doing it. You're a veteran, right? You know exactly how it works. I mean, you would help these guys in a heartbeat, right? Yep.
I would, and I still don't know all the answers.
Very nice. Yeah, me neither, right? But that's what you gotta continue to be open to, that learning process, which is awesome. All right, so one more question. How do you see this industry evolving, right? How do you see the green industry evolving over the next 10 years? Do you see a change?
Unfortunately, yeah.
What do you see?
All the battery-powered equipment, it's going to wind up taking over. I guess the good thing in that is there's a lot of these companies, and we've seen them a couple years ago when we were here, making it where you can set up on clouds and use cell towers and stuff, where you can run 5-6 different mowers at one time and not even have to be on top of them. That's going to change a bunch. One, that takes care of the fact that nobody wants to work.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is when those take over, what are they going to do with our mountainous communities where we don't have cell tower coverage, where you can't access a cloud, except for the one that opens up and makes everything wet and you can't mow?
Yeah. Just like AI, nothing's going to replace the human touch.
No.
No, and the human communication. And at some point, people are going to want that.
But I mean, that's probably the biggest change, is everything's going, you know, a lot of these companies are going to the battery and the electric aspect. And for a lot of us old timers, we like the gas power. We like the ability that I can fill up my gas and I don't have to worry about whether I'm going to run a generator that's run off of gas to charge my equipment. And well, you look at some of these mowers. It'll take 12, 15 hours to charge the batteries,
yeah,
for it.
Whole different set of problems.
Yes.
Whole different set of problems, right. Yeah. Much easier that way. Well, awesome, man. Hey, you've been great.
Thank you.
This was easy, right?
Yeah. It was actually fun.
All right, my man. All right, take care.
Thanks for tuning in to Confessions of the Craft. Ensure you never miss an episode by subscribing to the podcast so you can be the first to hear new episodes and discover previous ones. Follow Site One on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn for the latest trends and industry updates.